there was many places that Jesus went to minister. Many places. But it seems like he had a special connection to this place in Bethany. He came back to this place. He was always, can you imagine, the rumors went all over that this Jesus, he heals. This Jesus, when he comes, you know, I can just imagine he multiplies food. When this Jesus comes, he's going to tell you whatever you have done in your life. That is what Jesus is. This is what Jesus is doing. But Bethany was a bit different. It seems like Bethany was the few places where Jesus went, rather than he just ministered, he was ministered to. I'm going to say that again. Bethany is one of the few places that rather than Jesus come and just minister again and preach, there was an aspect of when Jesus went to Bethany that he was ministered to. He was blessed. And I'm going to tell you how that happened. But I want us to first look at the story in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. And you see this, again, Jesus coming to this village of Bethany. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, Bethany. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her. Hey, if the Lord answers you back, you just know, eh? You just know. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing," say one thing. Let's try again. One thing. Let's try one more time. One thing. "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." What a statement from Jesus. What a statement from Jesus. He's basically saying, Martha, Mary has chosen something, and what Mary has chosen, this very thing will never ever be able to be taken away, stripped away from her. Well, let me give you a little bit of context here. Because what I don't want you to see in this portion of scriptures this morning is that I am telling you that serving is the wrong thing to do. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, can I just say that again? That's not what I'm saying. Okay. Serving is a very good thing to do. It's in scripture that we are called to serve. It's good, for example, in this body for all of us to come and serve and bring our talents and bring our treasures and bring our time and serve, whether it's on the sound desk or on the worship team, or serve, whether it's setting up coffee, whatever it is good for us as a body to serve. But the problem with Martha was that our identity, who she is, was found in her serving. She was defined by her serving. And because she was defined by her serving, it was the very thing that came in her way when it comes to encountering Jesus. Whatever you are defined by, whether it's wealth, whether it's even poverty, whether it's a serving, whether it's even on the worship team, your skill, whatever you are defined by, that very thing comes in the way of Jesus. Why? Because you were called to be defined by Him. You are His. He paid the price for you with His blood poured out. Whatever you define by, that's the very thing that comes in the way of Jesus. So if you can go back to that scripture for me. You're all still with me? Hello? There in the back in that corner, you with me? Hello? Okay. If you can put up that scripture again for me. You can go back to verse 38 for me. I want to just give you. So Martha obviously welcomed him. She found her identity in serving. You can go to verse 39 for me again. "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." Isn't that interesting? Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Why is that significant? Because sitting at a rabbi's feet, and Jesus was seen as a rabbi at that time, sitting at a rabbi's feet was actually a posture of humility. It was a posture that says, I'm here to learn. I'm here to be discipled. I'm not here to do life my own way. Jesus, you know better. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, teach me your ways because I can't live this life on my own. That was the posture of Mary at the feet of Jesus. That's where Mary was found. She knew that the precious words of this Jesus will define her. Martha was defined by her serving, not the words of Jesus. It goes on to verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted. That word, distracted. Distracted. You know, it's funny that the Bible actually used the word distracted. Because do you know that you are not distracted? It's not an accident that you're distracted. It's like watching sport and then saying, I've been distracted by the sport. Have you ever thought about that? Okay? I don't know whom of you have ever gone with a toddler into a ShopRite or a Checkers. And then for some reason, what they do in South Africa, I'm not sure they do it here, but as you wait for the till, they place all the chocolates in the world as temptation. Not just for you, but for your 3 or 4 year old child. And then they cause all hell breaks loose in that 2 minutes. You know, you like have to say, no, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch, no, 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 leave, put down. That's usually a mother or a father and their toddler in that line. Is it also here in Zambia like that? They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're testing you. They're testing you. You're not accidentally distracted. You are distracted by the very thing you really want. I'm going to say it again. You are distracted by the very thing you actually really want. You're not distracted by a chocolate. You actually really want a chocolate. Do you hear what I'm saying? Any chocolate lovers here? No one. Okay. No one. So Martha was distracted with much serving. It wasn't that she accidentally fell into serving. It's the very thing that defined her. It was the most important thing to her. Too important. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care? My sister is not helping, basically. Next verse, verse 41. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha. That double Martha, Martha. That is it's in their language, it wasn't a Martha, Martha. Oh, come on, man, get it right. It's not how Jesus said it. It's not Martha, Martha. Come on, try harder, please. No, that Martha, Martha was compassion. I could see Jesus looking at Martha and just knowing, oh, I love you. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And then, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portions. She's chosen to sit at my feet. She chose to be defined by my words. She chose to be close to me, which will not be taken away from her. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Hello? Imagine Jesus today standing in front of you. Do you think he would say, Martha, Martha? Do you think he would say that to you? You've been distracted by many things. You've been distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary. Me! Jesus! You're going to lose all these things in this world one day. You're going to stand before Him. And the only thing you're going to have left is Him. I want to take you to another story of Mary. Matthew 26, verse 6 to 13. This is the famous one that they usually speak about Mary of Bethany. Okay. Now, here's this room. Again, Bethany, the place that Jesus loved to go to. Now, when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him. Now, this woman we know from the other Gospels is Mary of Bethany. Yeah. A woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. Very expensive ointment. Okay. Very expensive perfume. Now, this was so expensive, as most of you would know, it's equal to a salary of a year, okay? This perfume, let me tell you something interesting. It came all the way from India. And to make this perfume was quite a complicated process. It had to be crystallized. It had to be crushed. It had to be crushed to such a way, they dry freeze it, and then they crush it, and then they soften it, and then they dry freeze it again. It was a whole process. And then in that process, somewhere there's a drop of ointment, a drop of perfume coming out. And that's why it was so expensive. Then it had to go the trade route on a boat, on a ship, all the way to the Middle East. And most of the times, this perfume was only found in the house of kings. So how on earth did Mary of Bethany get this perfume? How on earth? That's a good question to ask. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. Verse 8. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant. They were angry. The disciples looked at, can you imagine all of them sitting around the table? Jesus here. Here comes a woman into the room. And by the way, in that time, that culture, for a woman to come into the room and do something like that over the rabbi, bring perfume, break it over him, was seen as so disrespectful. So this woman comes in. She does it. The disciples around the table go, what on earth are you doing? They're indignant. They're angry. Why this waste? Why are you wasting all this perfume? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. Suddenly they're very super spiritual. They say, we could have taken this perfume. We could have sold it. We could have given it to the poor. You took it in one moment, broke it open over Jesus, wasted everything. Can you imagine? I think if it was you and me with that ointment, that perfume, we would have gone maybe little by little. Here's a sprinkle of perfume for you, Jesus. You know? I'm going to give a little bit more tomorrow. Because I'm not going to waste a whole year's of salary in one moment. Can you imagine? And how do we know this was the real perfume? Because that word, the very expensive perfume, actually tells us, the original word tells us that it was the real deal. All of us have a friend that sells fake perfume, eh? Some of you are wearing fake perfume. I know Yanku is. See, a combo of lavender and a cat, you know? Anyways. But this was the real deal. So why did she do this? And the only thing I've tried to read up, and people don't know. They don't know if she saved up or whatever. But one of the things that some people are suggesting is the only thing that could have justified for her to do that or enabled her to do that is that she had to almost sell everything she had to buy that perfume. And guess what? Wasted in one moment. Now, you maybe hear that story and you think to myself, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But my question is a bit different. My question is this. What did Mary see that made her do that? I'm going to say it again. What did Mary see in Jesus that made her waste all of that perfume on Him? Think about it. The disciples were in the room. They didn't do it. Not one of them did that. It was Mary that did that. So that tells me Mary saw something that not one of the disciples saw. Mary saw Him truly as the worthy one. Truly as the reason why she is alive. The reason why she's chosen. She saw Him as the purpose, her reward, her portion. The disciples at that stage, the guys that walked with Jesus every day, did not. Isn't that interesting? That's the Mary of Bethany. I wonder if someone tell you, do you know what is very interesting? Matthew 28, you don't have to go there, verse 1. When Jesus died and He was placed in the grave, there were two people that were at the grave first. Jesus' mother, of course, a mother would always be there. And who else? Anyone? Mary of Bethany. How committed to Jesus must you be that even, remember, they didn't know that He's going to be alive. They didn't know that He's going to get resurrected. But her love for Him was so true that even when He died, there was some sort of devotion and commitment that I'm going to go to that grave even in my disappointment and my hopelessness or I thought that He's dead. Isn't that beautiful? Guess what? John 11. Lazarus died. Eh? Most of you know that story. And Mary and Martha, they are crying. And Jesus takes 3 days to respond to the news that Lazarus died. And he goes now to Bethany again. And as he goes, Martha encounters him and questions him. If you were just here, you could have done something, Jesus. Where were you? And he has this conversation with Martha. But then something interesting happens. He goes and says, go call Mary. Oh. When I read that, I was like, oh. Can you imagine? Jesus speaks to someone. And for some reason, he tells that person, please go call Mary. Go call Yanku, please. I want to speak to her. I mean, it's not like Martha had to go to Jesus, but here Jesus is like, no, call Mary. I want Mary here. Isn't that beautiful? But there's this testimony of Mary of Bethany, of someone that truly loved God. Someone that truly wanted and desired God. That saw Him as the worthy one. Everyone say worthy. I'm going to try again. Worthy. But there's one side of this story that we don't always preach about. And it's what happened after Matthew. Actually, you can go back for me to Matthew 26, verse 8. From verse 8. There's something that happened directly after this story. Okay. So, for this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. You can go to verse 9. Oh, sorry, 10. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. Verse 11. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Verse 13. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Imagine to love Jesus in such a way that every time the gospel is preached, your name is mentioned. Can you imagine that? To love Jesus in such a way that every time, Jesus basically said, every time they're going to speak about the gospel somewhere, like I'm doing this morning, I'm going to mention Mary. How on earth? How on earth? It almost feels wrong. Yet Jesus did that. Now, interesting, this story is told in three different gospels. The same story. Okay. And I want to quickly see if I can get it. Is everyone okay still? Hello? Quickly nudge the person next to you. If they're falling asleep, nudge them. Say, yay, Rock Walker. Wake up. Wake up. Okay. So there's something that happened here. Sorry, I'm trying to open it up quickly here in front of me. Just something I felt like I want to mention now. And obviously the internet doesn't work now. So, okay. Can I have the Bible that you have there in front of you? Any of your Bibles is fine. Can you quickly open up from Matthew 26 for me? Okay. So there's something that happened from this story that most of us do not know about. Out of this story, we hear about someone called Judas. Now, whom of you know about Judas? Okay. Thank you. After this, after Jesus said, wherever the gospel will be preached about this woman, you will hear about this woman. Hear this. After all of this, disciples witness what happens in this room. Hear what happens. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then Judas, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, I know some of you are looking at it and you're like, yah, Judas. No man, Judas. You know, we look at the story like that. But isn't it interesting that out of this room, Mary pouring the perfume over Jesus, Judas was in that room. Judas saw what happened. And Judas went from that room and went and said, how much do you guys want from me to betray Jesus? Or how much can I get to betray him? 30 pieces of silver. That was about a third of what Mary actually wasted on Jesus. That was a third of what Mary poured out on Jesus. A third. You see, Judas wanted intimacy with Jesus, but he wanted benefits. Oh, he wanted the benefits, but not the commitment. It's like, I'm not going to give you everything. I want to walk with you. I want to live with you. I want to see the miracles. I want to see everything that you can do. But you're not going to get my whole life. You're worth 30 pieces of silver to me. Now, I know we look at that and we're like, how can you? But how often do we betray Jesus for other love? Like, Jesus, I'm going to follow you for the blessing. I'm going to follow you that you will give one or two things for me. That you will bless my family, protect my family. That you will make me successful, Lord. That you can give me money. Whatever it is, I'll do. I'll follow you for these things. But I'm not going to bow my knee before you. I'm not going to bow my knee before you. You see, that's where Judas was. That's where Judas was. That's where Judas was. Jesus, I just pray, Holy Spirit, now would you come and search our hearts? If there's anything in us, Lord, we will look at you and we're like, I'm not sure if you're completely worth it, Jesus. Oh, I'm not sure if you're completely, you know, if I need to completely go all in with this, Jesus. I'm not 100% sure. You know, I'm not sure if I see you like Mary saw you as completely worthy of everything, that I would sell all things and follow you. You see, to follow Jesus, unfortunately, and fortunately, because you get Jesus, unfortunately, because sometimes our possessions are quite great in our eyes, we do lay down our lives. There's no other way to follow Jesus. There's no other way. It's a demonic lie that we can follow Him and get the benefits and not actually lay our lives down before Him. You hear what I'm saying? It's like me being married to my wife. And I tell my wife, I just want the benefits of a marriage, okay? But I actually do not want to get to know you. I don't want to lay my life down for you. Because husbands, you are called actually to lay your life down for your wife, as Jesus did for the church. But it's me telling my wife, yeah, I want the benefits of a relationship with you. But I actually do not want anything more than that, commitment or anything like that. Does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't. But yet we do that with Jesus. And I want to end with this. Mark 10. Are you also with me? Mark 10. Shoot, this Bible is full of pictures. Struggle to find my way in it. Okay. Mark 10. Jesus does something. He blesses the children. Okay. Praise over children. He blesses the children. As he's busy doing, can you just imagine? There's this young rich ruler standing in front of Jesus. Okay, he's looking at what Jesus is doing with the children. Jesus takes the children, he prays for the children. And he looks at his children, and Jesus makes this statement in Mark 10. Obviously, most of you know, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Okay, the kingdom of God belongs to a child. That's what Jesus says. So this rich guy sees this thing playing off. And here what happens from here. Verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life, to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. And you must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother." He gave him the list of the Ten Commandments. And this guy goes, after Jesus speaks to him, he says, "Teacher, I've obeyed all these things." He goes, he gives a tap on his own back. He says, "I'm such a good guy. I've done all these 10 things. Oh, how wonderful am I?" And I often think we live this type of Christianity. Often. I do it. We make sure we tick all the boxes like this young rich ruler. Okay? And I think he thought Jesus would say, "Well done, my boy. Well done." You know? No, look what Jesus says back. "Looking at the man," I love this line. Oh, it pierces my heart. "Looking at this man, Jesus felt genuine love for him." Oh, I love that line. Like this man, thinking so much about himself that he has deserved, he worked his way in getting eternal life. Jesus looks at him, Martha, Martha, okay, looks at him with love in his eyes. And he says the following. There is still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Is being rich the problem? No. But the fact that this man was defined by wealth. So Jesus takes on the one thing that steals his affection, that steals his attention, that steals his love. Like Martha, Jesus did the same thing with Martha. But what stole her attention, what stole her affection, what defined her, serving defined Martha, riches defined this young rich ruler. And Jesus looks at him and says, you lack one thing. Do you see that word again? Say one thing. Let's say again, one thing. Okay, if you're sleeping, say it with me. One thing. Okay. One thing. You lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. And follow me. Follow me. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That's the call this morning. One thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Hear what I say. One thing is necessary. One thing. One thing. One thing. You can have a successful business and miss this. You can have many children in life. I'm going to have 3 soon, okay? And still miss this. You can have all the riches in the world and miss this. You can have all the talent in the voice, the talent in the most beautiful voice and miss this. You can be a celebrity, a politician. You can have all the fame in this world and miss this. One thing is necessary. One thing. And Holy Spirit, I pray now that our hearts would find the one thing in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, come declutter our hearts from many things, from distractions, the things that we actually want. Come declutter our hearts in Jesus' name. And I want to pray like Mary saw you, that it compelled her to bring such a costly, very expensive perfume and waste it all on you. I pray, may there be a wasting on you, Lord, like never before from this body. God, may it be said from those in this body that they are people that are wasting on you, Jesus. I pray that even those who don't know you would walk in here, look at the lives represented in this body. Look